We're going to get started in a couple minutes, but for those sitting in the back, if you can maybe just move forward, I think we're going to have a smaller group and the screen's not as large, so you'll be able to see a little bit better up front. Thank you.
Did you drive it this morning?
No, I took transit and I just read that kind of the line and it's not operating between Richard and somebody.
Nice, better than I do. Thanks, Sonia. And just so you know, I think we have 56 copies of our presentation. I brought 60 because I thought maybe we'd draw an extra four. There were 56 people registered. So I'm going to attribute most of this to snow, or maybe it's just a last session of a very engaging several days here. For those that, this isn't going to work so well in a small room, but I'm just curious, I know the answer. How many sat through the session yesterday on how to speak like a leader? Okay, so quite a few. So I'm going to shift my slides slightly because of that presentation, and I want to start a little bit with I'm going to call it the grabber. and those that were there knows what it is. No, you know what it is. So starting with our vision. Our vision is to be seen as a valuable resource for local government and our other stakeholders. And we do that by working collaboratively with local governments. And I think that's very important. And the work that we're going to go through over the next period of time, I think, supports that vision. And I'm hopeful that you'll come away with a better understanding, not only of how we actually do a performance audit, but of where the value can be in the work that we do for you. So now I can jump back to the way I was going to start the slide, because I had to use the grabber. Just an overview of what we're going to cover today, and you've got some handouts that will help you walk through. The slide here is not too bad, but some of them are a little bit text heavy, so that's where your overheads will probably help you, and I apologize for that right now. So let's talk a little bit about our purpose and mandate. We're quite unique in the world in which we operate in terms of our mandate. It's in our legislation, it's in the AGLG Act. Our intent is to conduct performance audits of local government operations. But as part of that, we're here to provide objective and relevant advice to assist local governments. And I think that's something I always stress. We started a conversation this year on some of our planning work that I'll talk to you about in a few minutes. And we talked about that when we started that, even in our office, about our purpose and mandate. So our objective is to provide that relevant advice that will assist you in the work you do as elected officials or senior staff. Talked about that. In terms of adding value, these are just some measurements that we're using now to see if we're succeeding in achieving our vision. So a couple of things on this slide. You'll see the number of reports that we finished. So we've now completed 26 reports. 22 of those are performance audits. The most recent was the performance audit on the city or the District of Port Edward, which was released on February 1st. And 4 perspective series booklets. And if you're not familiar with our perspective series booklets, I know just having looked around the room that many of you are, they're sort of best practices. And there's some out, at our table just out in the foyer. So if you haven't picked any up, I encourage you to do so. All that work is actually on our website. So you can go on our website and you can look at our performance audits and you can look at our perspective series. So that's part of the way we measure value is the work that we're doing. Another way that we measure value are the recommendations that we include. So each of our reports has several recommendations, and almost all of the reports have recommendations that have been accepted by the local government. So I think I can't even count how many recommendations anymore. I think we're probably up to 150 or 130, and all I think but 2 of those were accepted by local government. So local government thought that was a good idea. They thought that information was useful, and they put their action plan in place to implement it. So that's another measure that we use to measure value. One of the other ways we measure value is just the feedback we get. And even at this session, I've had a lot of very positive comments about the audit work that we do, a lot of comments about the perspective series. You'll see some lines in there around the perspective series. Very positive feedback on that. We have an example. We've got a municipal auditor. Some of you may know Archie Johnson. Archie's with KPMG. They do a lot of municipal audits. Archie shares our perspective series booklets, not only with his municipal clients, but with his other government clients, so school boards and things. Because if you're looking at a perspective series on operational procurement, it kind of applies whether you're in local government, a provincial government, or school board. So there's some good information in those. So those have been shared. One of the other measures that I have here that I think is really important in terms of measuring value for us is the fact that GFOA and LGMA looked at the work that we had done in our perspective series around procurement and looked at our performance audits that related to procurement and produced a webinar that they released this, I think it was in October. And so they've taken the work that we've done and used that as a base to build further tools for local government to continue to improve upon their operations. The last one, which is actually the top one, is just about some feedback we've had from CAOs. So we did a survey, and I'll speak to that in a few minutes, but we did a survey this fall, and we asked the CAOs to give us an idea of 2 things, really. What is the value of the work we're doing, and how aware are you of the work we're doing? On the awareness side, they gave us a 3.9 out of 5, so fairly significant level of awareness amongst the CAOs. In terms of value, they gave us a 3.6 out of 5 in terms of the value of the work that we're producing. And actually, if you looked at that, if you looked at the input, I think 60% of them gave us either a 4 or a 5, The average was 3.6. So again, another measure of are we adding value. So one of the things that we've been asked is, and I apologize, I don't think you're going to be able to read this even, well, some of you may be able to, but I couldn't if I was where you were at. But it is in your overheads, and you can look at it later. I'm just going to touch on a few of the points. So one of the things that we've been asked is, what are we finding in some of our audits? And we've now completed several audits. We have two underway right now. We have several audit topics, I should say. We have two audit topics underway currently. We have an audit on local government's role in ensuring clean drinking water. That's currently underway, and we haven't released any reports on that yet. And we've also got a audit topic, inherent risks, HR risks in small local governments, and that's actually had now four audits released, and we have one more to go, and District of Port Edward was one of those that was released earlier this week. So I'll talk a little bit about that. But previously, we'd looked at things like operational procurement, policing oversight. So when you look at the reports, you'll see some common areas. Each community is different. Some communities are much stronger in certain areas than others. And there are some commonalities. But basically, if you looked at the things that we found in operational procurement, and I'll just take a couple of items that are on that page, we found, in many cases, a lot of gaps in policies and procedures. So purchasing policy that was dated had some gaps in terms of more relevant, I think, in terms of the current criteria for procurement. So we found that in a number of communities. We also found pretty consistently a lack of any performance reporting on procurement. So there wasn't a linkage necessarily between your procurement activities and some of the objectives that you may have as an organization. So that was a fairly common recommendation, I think, in most of the audit reports that we found. So there's a number of things that we try and pull out of our audit reports to allow people to have a good understanding of some of the things we're seeing across local government as a whole. Policing oversight. Generally, policing oversight was quite a positive number of audits in terms of a good understanding of the municipal policing unit agreement for those that have the RCMP in their community, a good understanding of what the agreement does and some of the amendments that were made in 2012. But we also found, I think in every community, an opportunity for cost containment opportunities. So those were things like there may have been special events held and there were some policing costs that probably could have been recovered from the event promoters that people hadn't really looked at. And there were also areas where there could be a review done of the split between the RCMP staffing and the municipal support staff. So possibly looking to see if some of the tasks that were being done from the RCMP side might be better handled administratively through the local government, possibly at even a sort of a more efficient way or a more effective way. So a number of things that we identified through the policing audit process. Capital procurement and asset management, very topical, especially given the fact that I think just about every community now is looking at or at least aware of some of the asset management challenges and potential infrastructure deficit that may exist. So we identified a number of things. And I would say if I was to pick a couple of recommendations or areas that needed some improvement, one was around business cases. So we found several examples where there really wasn't much of a business case in place prior to making those capital decisions. So our recommendations were around building a more robust business case so that the council and or board can make more and better informed decisions. I think we also identified a number of areas where the oversight and information that was being provided to council could be substantively improved as part of that process. So again, a number of areas where we identified several recommendations. This is current. So this is slightly different because we really don't have sort of a common theme yet. We haven't finished all of our HR audits on small communities. So if you're not familiar with this particular topic, we looked at five different communities ranging from a population of about 18,000, so that was the District of Squamish, down to the District of Port Edward, which has a population of about 500. So quite a range of, and quite a difference if you looked at the District of Squamish. A lot of growth in Squamish, business development, and housing increasing substantively. I can't remember the statistics in the report, but they're in there. But there are like 300% increases in some of their departments in terms of dealing with some of the growth in that area. And the District of Port Edward, which of course is small, 500 population, but is also anticipating potentially significant growth if any of the LNG projects move forward. So each has their own strengths and opportunities for improvement. If I looked at this, I'd say that in one community we found some really strong practices. That would actually be City of Nelson, for example. City of Nelson, which has a population of 10,000, and they have two HR professionals on staff. Much of the work that we found there was really just improvements to some good existing practices. So there are some communities that have some strengths in this area and others where there's some opportunities for improvement. I think, again, two of the things that are relatively common, lack of any kind of performance measures around HR, any kind of reporting, kind of a common theme. What was interesting for us, too, is that some communities are actually looking at shared services to help take some of the pressure off on some of the HR side. So Nelson's a good example. Nelson has a number of collaborative arrangements. In some cases, they're sharing services. They're sharing their CFO as an example. Their CFO actually is a CFO for two other smaller communities as well. So they're looking to bring in that kind of expertise and yet be able to share those skill sets in other organizations. They have other services too that they share with other local governments nearby. So they've had quite a bit of success with that. City of Fernie is interesting in the sense that they're actually just in the process now of looking to share an HR resource with two other communities nearby. So they've recognized the need to have that capacity, but they also probably don't have the ability to bring someone in on a full-time basis. So they've entered an agreement or in the process of entering an agreement where they're going to share the HR services. So I actually think if you had to look at the four reports, looking at the City of Nelson report is really valuable and looking at the City of Fernie report because they're at different stages and they're in their HR development, and so there's some really interesting learnings in both of those, if you can't read all of the reports we release. So one of the things I think is very important for folks is to understand what the difference is between a performance audit and a financial audit. And I've had some conversations in my few days here where it's clear not everyone fully understands the difference, and there are some similarities as well. Performance audits and financial audits follow the same professional standards, so they're all guided by the same professional standards, but they have quite different approaches and quite different outcomes. So a financial audit, as you all know, is really focused on the accuracy of your financial statements. You get an opinion from your auditor on the accuracy of your financial statement. So it's more accounting focused. The approach in a financial audit is also very standardized. So a financial audit in the City of Fernie or the City of Nelson generally is going to be fairly consistent, and when they come back every year and do the same audit, the approach isn't going to vary likely too much. So it's generally a fairly standard approach. Performance audits, on the other hand, are quite broad and can be quite broad, and you actually get to determine the depth and scope of a performance audit when you're doing some of the planning. So it focuses primarily on efficiency and effectiveness and economy. So we look really more at how you're doing something. This slide has compliance on there because there can be elements of compliance in a performance audit as well. We may, for example, in procurement, if we're doing an audit related to procurement, we may actually look at some of your procurement activities and see whether you're actually following the same policies that you're supposed to be following. So we may check on that as part of it. But primarily, we focus on the three E's. Each of the audit topics is quite unique. So planning for an audit on the inherent HR risks in a small community is going to be quite a different audit than looking at local government's role in ensuring clean drinking water. So each audit topic is planned differently. And the approach will really vary depending on the topic. So HR and water, you'll see, I think, that we haven't released any of the water reports, but it'll be a larger, more complex audit, whereas the HR audit is narrower scope. And when you read through the reports, I think that will be evident. So again, each performance audit is quite different depends on how we scope it and the breadth we want to have in that audit. And that's one of the other differences. A financial audit generally has a fairly narrow, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you. Performance audit, do they ever include on the level of customer service when
It could be if it is in the scope of that audit. If we were looking at an audit topic and we wanted to look at how you're dealing with customer service or public engagement as part of that process, we could look at that, yes. We could look at it.
Very good, thank you.
The one thing, and you gave me an opportunity to think about something I didn't mention on this slide. So what a performance audit is listed there, and we'll talk a little bit about more. And Marina's actually going to walk you through how we do the work we do. But what it isn't a core review. It isn't a program review. So our legislation exempts us from looking at your policy in turn, or your local government's directions or your objectives. So if you're, I'll give you an example of that. If your community wants to be the greenest community in British Columbia, we don't comment on that. That's a policy decision by your council and board. We have no say on that. Or if you have a program that you deliver, that is your decision. We don't comment on whether you should deliver that program or whether you shouldn't deliver it or whether it should be sourced to someone else. We don't comment on that. We're excluded from that through our legislation. We may, however, so let's just using the Green City example, if you've decided that that is one of your objectives, we may look at how you measure yourself and how you achieve those objectives. What are your performance measures to see if you're actually meeting that goal and objective? We could include that as part of a performance audit. Not whether you should be a green city or not, but we could look at how you do that, maybe your public engagement process around that. Those are all things that we could include. So again, financial audit, much more narrow focused. I'd say more nimble, too. Performance audit, much more breadth. A little harder to manage in the sense that as we go through a process, if we identify some other areas that may be relevant, we may have to spend more time there than we anticipated. So a lot more breadth in a performance audit than a financial audit. So I'm just going to touch briefly on our planning process and how we really start much of the work that we do. So some of you are already familiar. We start our whole process with the development of our audit themes, and they're in our annual service plan. So we have a new service plan coming out in about 3 weeks. And the service plan has these six sort of overarching themes. All of our audit topics should fall within those themes. And the themes are quite broad. I would describe it as very comprehensive and covers effectively everything that local governments may do. And there's even one audit theme that's listed as emerging. So even partway through our period of time, if there was something that became new and something that hadn't been typically done under local government, we could potentially look at that as an audit theme. Once we have the audit themes down, and I should say that I'll give you even a heads up, the audit themes in this year's service plan are the same audit themes as in last year's service plan. We consult with UBCM around our audit themes, and we haven't seen much in the way of any need to make any amendments to the themes. They're quite comprehensive. Once we actually have our audit themes, then we have to select an audit topic. And that actually is a fairly comprehensive process. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a few more slides. And once we have the audit topic, then we have to look to see who would be the auditee. Now, I can tell you, and I don't think there's anyone in the room that I've had the conversation with directly, but we usually, our approach, if we're selecting a community to be part of our audit work, is to give the community a call. So I will typically, I might be on the phone with Marina, and we'll phone usually the mayor and the CAO and just advise that we'll be coming to your community, and this is the audit topic. And the two questions I get are, one, why were we selected? And usually there's an inference in there that I would say they may have done something wrong, and that's not usually the case. We've identified, and I'll talk to the criteria, a number of criteria why we'd be actually looking at that particular community. And the second question is, how much work is it going to take? And we spend a fair amount of time trying to assure folks that we will try and work with you. We will be as least intrusive as we can be. We'll try and ask for information well in advance, schedule everything to use the least amount of your staff time and your time. So we will try and be as accommodating as we can to minimize the amount of time that we're going to spend working with your staff and taking away from all the other things that we know you're busy doing. When we select the auditee, we use a number of factors when we choose. We We'll look at, we're trying to look in different areas of British Columbia, so you will see some, if you looked at the HR audits, they're a good example. We've gone from District of Port Edward to the Kootenays. And so that'll be part of the process. We'll look at the size of the community. HR audits are typically, we've chosen smaller communities to start with, but we'll try different sizes of communities. We also look for issues that might be relevant in that area, so we want it to be significant to that particular area and really a value to that particular auditee as well. And all the work we do, although we will deliver a report to a council about the findings, we are hopeful, and we write the report in mind that other communities may also find this useful to read and learn something from the work that we do. I want to talk a little bit about our planning and engagement process that leads us to select audit topics. We've just finished a process. Actually, part of that work was done in this very room about 3 or 4 months ago. So we had a fairly comprehensive process to help us start to develop what our audit topics are going to be for the next 3 years. And it's listed there. We started with an internal review. So we took our staff. We spent I can't remember if it was a half day or a full day, going through all the audit topics that we had in place from previous consultations. We worked through that. We looked and identified and looked to see which might be the most significant audit topics. We also did an environmental scan. So by that, we reached out to, we looked at our correspondence that we get from taxpayers. We searched websites. We looked at UBCM's website. We looked at FCM's. We looked at some local government websites to see if there are a lot of issues that seem to be something that could be relevant and valuable if we were to look at as an audit topic. We also did a number of interviews. You'll see there we did 16 interviews. We did all this internally as well. So our interviews weren't done by consultants. Our interviews were done by our staff. Because this was just as much about engagement for the office as it was about getting information about audit topics. So we wanted to make sure that we had that chance to have that conversation with our stakeholders. We also did stakeholder interviews with people external to local government. So we met and had interviews with some folks from the Ombudsperson's Office. Now you may wonder why that. Well, because they often get a lot of local government issues their way, and often they send people our way if they have some concerns. We also met with some of the business groups, and I actually interviewed a couple of MLAs as part of the process. And we reached out to LGMA, so again, a broad group. Then we did a CAO survey, and we had about a 30% response rate. So we sent a survey out to 190 CAOs in British Columbia, and we got a 30% response rate, which is actually a pretty good response rate to any kind of a survey. And they rated audit topics in terms of priorities. So they should have a fairly good understanding of what some of the risks are in local government. So we looked at their feedback. Then we moved on to a full-day workshop here where we had local government representatives and one member of our audit council, which is the oversight body that I report through. And we took that work, we took a lot of the work that we'd done previously, and then we worked through a day-long session to start narrowing down what some of the audit topics are going to be. Now, I've actually got a listing of where we ended up. So all of that work resulted in a list of about 15 potential audit topics. And we're going to narrow that down further internally, and I'll show you the list just because there might be some interest. But the other thing I should mention, too, is that in addition to the audit work that we'll be starting, this year we're also going to be looking, so 2017-18, we're also going to start a process around follow-up audits on the work that we've completed. So 2017-18 will be the start of a process to go back to some of where we've already done some of the audit work and then have an opportunity to see what progress has been made in those communities. So I know you're not going to be able to see this list from wherever you're sitting, and I can barely read it. Maybe you can. But these audit topics are 15. Our goal is to actually try and come out with a listing of audit topics that will probably be about 9 or 10, and then we'll draw from that list over the next 3 years. There may be some amendments even to that list as we go through, but fundamentally, most of the audit topics will probably come from this. Not all of these topics are necessarily things that we can audit. It's difficult to audit certain elements of what you see there. So we need to work through and identify what the scope and direction should be on some of those particular topics. Others we may embed in some of the other work we do. So for example, you'll see governance listed there. On a lot of the audit topics that we already do, it's not necessarily the topic. But if you looked at our policing audits, as a good example, we actually looked at governance as part of that. So little elements of that were addressed in the policing audits that we did. So there are ways for us sometimes to touch on certain elements of this, even on a audit topic that's not necessarily directly related. And I think this points, I turn it to Marina.
Thank you. So now we would like to talk about what are the stages of the performance audit and what we could expect from each stage. And I have to apologize in advance for my strong accent, so if you don't understand me, just yell at me and I'll try to explain myself. Each performance audit will have four phases, being initiating the audit, planning, examination, and reporting. The audit team that we have skills and knowledge in conducting performance audits. We might not be expert in any particular subject matter that we are auditing, but we have a number of quality control reviews that help us. We also have a number of subject matter experts that help us to shape the audit and make sure that we deliver a good quality product to the local government. And during the performance of the audits, we comply with the CPA standards. The first phase of the performance audit is initiating the audit. And we begin the performance audit by contacting the local government and notifying them that they've been selected for to be audited under a particular audit topic. We then send a local government a notification letter that formally confirms our intention. And once the letter has been sent to the local government, we then release on our website the audit topics and the auditees under each audit topic. The kickoff meeting happens soon after we send the notification letter, and during the kickoff meeting with the local government, the goal is to present a protocol that explains how we interact with the local government, what are the stages of the audits, explain some of the timelines, identify key contacts on both sides, and then also talk about confidentiality requirements. So all documents and information that we receive during the performance audit is confidential and cannot be shared with anyone outside of the local government. The proposed performance audit report, the draft report that you get, is also considered confidential. So the only public document that could be shared with is a final audit report. Everything else is confidential. Do you want to add anything on this, Gordon?
No, I think that's just important for people to realize, in the sense that you'll share information with us. We're looking on the HR audits, for example, and that's a very sensitive area. So all of that remains confidential. We don't share that. We don't share that with government. It stays within the purview of our office.
Yeah, please go ahead.
So part of the rationale in terms of the work we do is around being transparent. So we release the information. Actually, the media release is actually done through the province of British Columbia, and they just advise people that we're releasing an audit report. I don't know, I'm not familiar with the particular Okay. I can tell you how it works today. So we will, Marina is going to touch on this in her slides. There's no surprises as we go through this process. We work very hard to make sure that you see our reports, that you see the information we're presenting. So we do release a media update that's generally similar to what's in our report, but we also send a copy of that in advance to the local government so they're also aware. So Marina will walk through this in her reporting format, but we'll be working closely with sometimes elected officials, more often than not senior staff, and preparing the work and verifying the findings, so no surprises. Then we send a draft performance audit report to council for input and feedback, and if there's anything that we need to adjust, then we'll look at that. Then prior to that actually being released, you receive a council or board will receive a copy about 2 days before, a hard copy, the final report before it's released. And you'll also actually receive a copy of our background information and any media commentary that we're making, so you have an opportunity to see that as well. So there shouldn't be any surprises. The media report itself is usually just an overview of the conclusions that we've drawn. And really, we're going to get calls from the media asking about the reports regardless, so this just gives us a format to respond to, if that answers your question. I think the key point is, it won't be a surprise, you'd see it in advance.
And that actually speaks to our next slide. It's not us, it's not our approach. We don't do surprise audits. There is a lot of planning and a lot of interaction with the local government before the audit goes through its process. The next phase of the performance audit is planning, and that could be as short as a few weeks and as long as a few months, depending on the complexity of the audit. And during this phase, we start with gathering the knowledge on the subject matter. As I mentioned, the audit team are not experts or might not be experts on any particular subject matter. Therefore, we start the planning phase with conducting extensive topic review by scanning through the publication, any media, any results of similar audits in other jurisdictions in other countries. We also conduct interviews with stakeholders that are outside to local government. That could be ministries, it could be business groups, it could be institutions, etc. And we also involve a number of subject matter experts and advisors for their expertise. So lots of people involved. Once we have knowledge of the subject matter, we meet with the local government, and we could make a trip to the local government and spend 1 week with you guys just interviewing you, obtaining documents, going through your websites, obtaining any public documents that might be useful for us, such as board minutes, annual reports, financial statements, anything that's related to the subject matter that we might find useful. And as a result of all this work, we develop an audit plan. The purpose of the plan is to finalize the audit objectives, finalize the scope, so what we're doing, what's in scope, what's outside of the scope of the particular performance audit, what are the areas or line of inquiries that we will be looking at, and what are the audit criteria that we will be assessing the local government's operation against. During the audit plan, or in the audit plan, we also include an audit program that lists detailed steps of what we will be doing and what are the audit methodologies and methods we'll be using, such as interviews, documents, reviews, analysis, or even physical observations. Anything that will help us to collect sufficient and appropriate evidence and enable us to conclude on the audit objectives. And once the audit plan is finalized, we provide a local government with a letter that outlines the audit objectives, the criteria, etc., and we ask local government to acknowledge those criteria. So once this is done, we could now launch into the examination phase. And the examination phase is evidence gathering and analysis. Again, sufficient and appropriate evidence that will help us to conclude on the objectives of the audit. And the examination phase typically consists of the two streams of activities. We'll go and visit you, local governments, and we might spend between 1 week and 3 weeks working with the local government at your office, interviewing staff, looking through the documents, etc., observing, doing some kind of analysis. Our approach is to be as flexible and as intrusive as possible. We do understand the challenges of you making time for us and even sometimes finding a place for us to sit. Some offices are very small, so we do understand it and we try to work with you. As I previously mentioned, the approach is also no surprises and everyone is kept in the loop. Usually we will have a key contact that we continuously interact and we keep up to date on what's going on, what the next steps are, what problems we are having, etc. At the end of the field trip, field walk, which I said might last between 1 week and 3 weeks in general, we go back and usually we'll continue the examination phase at our desk. Analyzing the documents that you provided, collecting more evidence, so we might be in touch with you again, asking for some additional documents. Typically, at the end of the field work, we'll conduct an exit meeting. Just outline, if we have any findings, then we could share with you at that point. If we don't have any findings, it's too premature for us to share, then we'll just outline the process that we'll go through in the next months, two or three, with some timelines, deadlines, etc. And after we complete the examination phase, we go into the reporting phase. And the reporting phase, again, consists of two stages. One stage is preparation of the proposed final audit report and then the final audit report. If you look at the proposed final audit report, what we do is typically, so we've conducted the examination, we analyze the documents, and then we will do a document that's called fact clearance document. And what it means is we'll have our audit objectives and audit criteria, and we'll document all the facts and findings that are related to those audit criteria. And those facts and findings will be positive facts and findings, things that you're doing well, negative findings or things that you need to improve, and then neutral facts, something that might be included as a contextual piece in our report. So it will be an extensive document that we'll provide to the local government, and we'll ask the local government to meet with us and go through the facts and findings and clear it with us. Because this document, the fact clearance document, and the process is a ground for us to go ahead and start drafting the audit report. So we want to make sure that before we start drafting the audit report, our facts and findings are correct. And if something, if something is not correct, then we'll ask you to clarify it and provide additional documents to prove. Once the fact clearance stage is completed, then we'll draft the proposed final audit report and we'll provide it to the local government. Local government will have 45 days to review the report and then provide us with comments and action plan. The action plan will have actions on addressing the recommendations that we have. Proposed final audit report ELSA sent to our audit council. Now, once the 45 days period is over, we will receive your comments. We'll incorporate those comments and your action plan into the final audit report. At that time, we might still tweak a little bit the wording in the report and make some edits. And then the audit report is finalized. It's sent to the audit council. It's sent to the local government prior to the report being published, and we also sent it to the minister.
So I wonder, I know the audit council is, but my colleagues don't, so could you explain the audit council?
Gordon, would you please comment
on
that?
Yeah, thank you, and I realize that too. Thanks, Al, because I recognize that we know what it is. But then I forgot about the audience, so my apologies. Because we have explained, so the work that we do in the AGLG, we exist under a piece of legislation called the AGLG Act, and it grants a substantive autonomy from government. But we do report to an audit council, and the audit council has to be a minimum of 5 individuals, currently it's 6, and they have a background usually in finance, business, law possibly. 3 of them currently have backgrounds in local governments, 2 are elected officials, 1's actually a former CAO. And we provide our, the audit council are my trusted advisors. So we send reports, virtually every report, whether it's a perspective series or an audit report, or my communication strategy goes to the audit council for feedback. And then they provide me advice and comments. And I don't have to follow their comments, but they provide advice and guidance, and they are trusted advisors, so I take them seriously in terms of, and they always remind me that if I don't follow their comments too often, they actually do my performance review. So that's the structure, and the audit council is appointed by the minister. So they're through the whole board appointment process. So they're separate from us, but they are an important part about our accountability, and they do provide us feedback on the reports that we produce.
So what are the benefits of the performance audit? Performance audits provide elected officials and local government staff with an objective third-party analysis of the operation to help to improve performance. As I mentioned, we may identify areas of strength in local government, and we do it because we believe it's important. If one local government is doing an outstanding job in something, we want to share it with other local governments. And we also identify areas where there are opportunities for improvement. We look at the areas of economy, efficiency, and effectiveness. Now, I should say that efficiency and effectiveness are more common areas to look at rather than just economy. Yeah. We also notice that as a result of our performance audit that we release, we know that many local governments look at the reports and not auditees, right? They look at our reports and they actually do a self-assessment against what we included in our audit reports. May identify risk before an issue. You certainly, or local governments could certainly get by for a long time by not looking at the risks, but the goal of our performance audit is identify those risks, bring it to your attention, and hope that you will address those risks. And in the long run, save money by dealing with those problems now rather than delaying it to the future and dealing with the cost issues that at the future time.
And I think you had a question, sorry.
I'm pretty new to this. So how do you choose who you're going to do an audit on, or do you do it on everyone? Is it like a yearly basis, or every 3 years, or how does that kind of happen?
So just in terms of, we select our audit topics, and then we will look at performing those audit topics over a period of time. Our auditees are based on, it's a judgmental process. We look through and determine, we'll use factors such as the geography, we'll try and pick different sectors of the province, we'll look at the size of the community, we'll look at the relevance and significance and risk potentially of that community. So there's a number.
Not necessarily because they are perceived as problematic.
No, but we will look at things like media commentary. So if there's a common issue always showing up, well, that common issue might be something that we want to start looking at, and if we're seeing more prevalent in a certain community, that may impact our decision. But generally, it's a whole bunch of factors that we weigh and trying to choose something that will be representative of the province overall. We also look for communities, though, that we actually anticipate we may come back with some very positive results from, because then we're able to share those results more broadly in local government. Oh, back to me. So there we go. The next slide I can tell you is all about questions, if you have any. So, but I have a question for you, and this would work probably better in a big room. But we communicate in a number of different ways with local governments. And I think we need to do more. I know we need to do more, because I've already had a couple conversations with people, not in this room, but at this event, where someone has said they will never read one of our performance audits. And that's fine, but there is information there that is probably valuable. So if they're not reading it, I'm hoping maybe one of their senior staff is actually looking at the work, and we see examples of that. So we do a number of things. We produce our audit reports, and they do go up on our website. Now the reports, as the deck shows, are fairly lengthy. They're usually 40 pages plus, and that's a lot of information to read. I think there's a lot of valuable information in those reports, because there's context and nuances and sometimes something I would call soft recommendations. So we may not make this recommendation that you should do this, but when you read through the audit report, we make comments in some cases that you're not doing this, we think you should be doing it, but it doesn't make it to that final formal recommendation. So there's value in that, but it will take you some time to read through those reports. Perspective series booklets are best practices. They're 50 pages, maybe a little less. We provide them, they're on our website, other people distribute them, so that's some of the way we communicate. And we're looking for other ways that might work, which is probably going to be in the way of social media. So if you have any feedback, either now or later, about what might work for you, we're starting to look at, we're building a social media strategy, and we're looking at whether we should use potentially YouTube, so do maybe a summary video of some of the audit work we do. We're looking at potential partnerships. Should we partner with folks like LGMA or GFOA to do joint webinars on some of our audit findings? Would that be helpful? And of course, we're always open to doing presentations to local governments or councils if there's an opportunity. So if you have any thoughts on, like I've had one mayor suggest to me, also a separate one than the other, that said they'll never read a report, but if we could summarize it in a 3-minute YouTube video, they'd be quite happy to look at that. So just some of our challenges. I think we're right at time, so you're going to cut us off at this point. That's fine. We've covered everything. If you have any questions, I'm going to be around. We've got business cards out front. We've got perspective series. Any thoughts on any of this, always welcomed. Please feel free to give me a call or send me an email if we can help, and we'll be around for some questions if there are any. So go ahead, Sonia.
So thank you, Gordon and Marina, for a very informative session.